two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy 2024! New year, new you, right? Let me guess. You're thinking about joining a new gym, starting a fad diet, buying that Theragun everyone's always yammering on about. I've got a better idea. Listen to my podcast. I'm Samantha Bee, writer, comedian, and host of Choice Words from Lemonada Media. This whole month of January, we're going to help you make better choices in 2024. We'll go beyond superficial hacks and get at the truth of how to lead a more meaningful life. Just search for Choice Words on your podcast player of choice and hit follow so you don't miss an episode. Now that is a good choice.
This is Being Studios.
Audio reality from Lemonada.
Previously on Being Trans.
Hey, kiddo.
It's time to brush teeth.
I want to go to bed.
I am a transgender, non-binary, 40-year-old legal assistant living in Los Angeles, California, with my partner, Robert, and our 3-year-old son, Egon.
Yay! Hi! There you are.
It's good to see you.
Great to see you.
Stephanie Barbosa is my good friend, who is also my trainer. Today, we're going to even the playing field a little bit and go hit some balls at a driving range.
All right. We're going to give you testosterone tonight.
Yeah. Not all trans people take hormones, but for those of us who do decide to take hormones, it becomes your reality for your life.
One of the most painful aspects of transitioning is that so many things fall out of your life. As tough as it is, it's nowhere near as difficult as going through life living as something other than your authentic self. My name is Chloe Corcoran.
I'm Sai Clark Chan.
My name is Mariana Marroquin.
I'm Jeffrey J, and I identify as a trans man.
Trans woman.
Trans woman.
I'm transgender and non-binary. A few months ago, a documentary crew started following me and a few other trans friends around, navigating everything.
From family.
Relationships.
Work.
And more. There was always a story worth telling.
And that's what you're about to hear.
You'll witness moments alongside us, and you'll get into our heads.
On this episode, we follow Chloe.
I want to travel. I love travel. Travel's like my favorite thing, but I've been afraid to travel for the past 5 years.
And we also follow Sai.
You don't even like to read this book. Only babies like it. So we're going to put it in this bag.
This is Being Trans.
Is Cadence coming?
Oh, there she is.
It's my friend. I love her.
This is Sai. We're having a picnic at the park, which is one of our favorite things to do in LA. Jeff is here.
That's amazing.
Chloe is here.
This is a really nice neighborhood.
Mariana is here.
That's perfect.
And she also brought her coworker, Cadence.
Yeah.
What'd you get up to?
I went to my doctor's appointment Wednesday because I really want my surgery, you know, of my breast.
Going to the doctor is something that a lot of trans people try to avoid because of all the misgendering and mm-hmm. all the stuff that happened.
They're doing the bare minimum, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember also being in recovery and having a doctor or a nurse coming in, and they bring in all the students to see me. And I used to be like there with my legs open, and they're like, okay, come and see this. Is that okay if we take a look? Like six
like
people.
After they're already doing
and I said, like, be
teaching.
My guest
yeah.
right there.
It's like a teaching
you look like
hospital.
Carne asada in that moment. It was ugly, but now it's pretty. It's funny when they ask you also, I mean, in the file, it's supposed to say, like, you're trans. And they're still asking about, like, you know, are you pregnant?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, I've been trying, but it's not possible yet. That includes myself.
When I went on T, one of my first questions was, like, what is menopause look like on T? And my doctor was like, you're not going to go through menopause. And I was like, what is that mean?
Have you also heard about that? I think some insurance are with the trans care also taking care of if you want to become a parent or something like that. I think Kaiser also covered.
Oh, like freezing your eggs or sperm or whatever. Yeah, I know they asked me about it when I was going through it because I already had a kid and I don't want any more kids.
But they asked you.
But they did ask me.
Wow.
Well, I didn't even know nothing about it until later on, you know. I like already been on my hormones for, I think, for 3 months already. You know, I'm like, it's too late now, you know.
The reality is when you're talking about fertility and transgender issues and hormone replacement therapy, it's such a minefield. A lot of trans people, both male, female, and non-binary, are told that the minute you start hormone replacement therapy, the factory is closed for good. You will never have your own biological children. That's complicated.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's on me. I mean, becoming a mom is like big responsibility. I mean, like, I want to be a stepmom probably or like, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah, they had asked me about that, but I didn't have any prospects on the horizon and it was so expensive. I just couldn't afford it. And
oh, that's really sad.
Yeah. I just didn't see a way to make it happen. And so...
Right.
Yeah, that was kind of where I was at the time. That's kind of it. It's all in the past now. I always wanted a family. I come from, you know, a family with lots of aunts and uncles and cousins and all of that stuff. And I do feel a sense of loss. So, I don't know. Like, that's always kind of gnawed at me and just has felt a little, just a twinge.
Have you ever talked to like a fertility doctor or anybody more recently about what your options are at this point?
I haven't, just because they kind of told me, like, that's it.
You know, they tell you that. And they, like, for me, same. And yet, like, I have met people who that wasn't true for. And I don't know a lot about trans femme stuff and the medical aspect of it. But there are, for sure are trans people who've had kids. But I also don't want to tell you something that's possible that, like, is, like, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, but I think it's worth having a conversation with someone. I mean, you never know, right?
Yeah.
A tiny Chloe wandering around the world would be amazing, first of all.
Yeah.
Are we finally running out of garbage bags?
Yep.
After like 3 years?
Yep.
Does it mean we have to rejoin Costco?
Wow. I admit to a certain amount of jealousy when people at the preschool talk about their Costco runs.
Yeah, the people at the preschool live in houses.
We're doing some house cleaning. Egon has so many toys, and especially now that he's getting older, we really want to teach him the value of getting rid of things that you're not using anymore and maybe donating them to another kid.
You never buy anything from there, and it's always too much stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to put all of these toys in this bag so it's easy to bring to another kid so that we can keep this plastic box.
But it might be pretty stinky.
Stinky?
No, the
there's no garbage in this bag. It's just an empty one.
Smell nice until we put garbage into them.
We're not going to put any garbage in this bag. We're only going to put toys in it.
Oh, look at the steady bucket.
Like, this book is a book for babies. Yeah. You don't even like to read this book. Only babies like it. So we're going to put it in this bag.
You got a bunch of stuffies up in your room still.
You have so many stuffies. All of these toys are toys you don't play with.
These are toys that are going to make another kid happy.
Yeah. You feel sad about it?
I'm happy.
You don't look very happy.
When it comes to navigating life as a queer parent and as a transgender parent, I don't have anyone to turn to. I don't have any friends who are queer parents, and that can be really isolating and hard. So for me, it's, you know, I have no idea what I'm doing. Robert and I don't have any particular parenting philosophy, but I think we're both very much on the same page that we want to raise a kid who's kind and who considers other people.
I was going to say, like, let's drive over to Goodwill and donate them. I don't think he can handle them, to be really honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, kiddo. Come on. Let's go.
I've been doing a lot of my own research after talking to Sai about whether I can still have biological children of my own, and even spoke with a fertility doctor and found out that it is possible for me to have biological children of my own. I'm early on in my transition, but not so early that everything is working the way that it used to. For me to have biological children of my own, I would have to go off hormones for a long time to kind of kickstart my system again so that I could produce a viable specimen. So that is a lot. It's kind of mind-blowing to think that, to hear that, to know that, to trust that I may actually be able to have children of my own. And I thought that door was shut forever. And this one piece of information has just in a split second created a laundry list of questions and thoughts and feelings. And I now have to go back and start all over and think these things through. And it's wonderful that there's an opportunity. There's a lot to process here, and I kind of need some outside perspective. So I'm going to give my brother a call. Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
So my brother is younger than me, and we've had a very interesting relationship over time, and I feel like we're in a really good spot now, and he's been a dad for, you know, going on 6 years now, so it's really nice to see him grow as a person and just relate to people in different ways.
So I've been thinking about it a lot, but I really wanted to touch base with you on it. I could potentially have biological kids of my own, and I don't really know what to do. I'm not with anyone, and I don't know.
Do you want kids?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I think you know, and you just don't want to say it.
Yeah, you're probably right. I need to sit with that for a little bit longer.
It's not an easy decision by any means. I don't know, I love my kids. They're a lot of fun. They're challenging at points in time. They're not always the easiest, but there's a lot of things that are great about them, but there's a lot of stuff that changes your life. So that's not a decision that anybody else can make but yourself.
Like, all the logistical pieces don't make sense, but there's still this pull to, like, have, you know, to have kids, but I don't know.
Logistics aren't really a big obstacle, because you figure that stuff out. That's just the way it goes. You figure things out. I don't know that I was ready to have kids. Man, some days I still don't know that I'm ready to have kids, but I love them, and they're not easy, but at the same time, there's days where I've had a terrible day and they just come running up to me and give me a hug, and it makes the day better.
Oh my gosh.
There's other times where they are decorating cookies and throw sprinkles all over the kitchen, or I'm laying on the floor and somebody sits on my face.
Yeah, I've got photographic proof of that.
With a poop diaper. And that's not funny. That's not funny.
It is, because it didn't happen to me. That's why it's funny.
What if I got pink eye?
then you would struggle with pink eye for a little bit.
You know, the dream of having kids is something I always had growing up, in wanting a family and wanting to take, you know, the great things that I had and, you know, take other opportunities to make other things better. And, you know, just to give my nephew some cousins to play with and be able to relate with people on a different level of shared experiences. Like my brother, like I hear how much it means for him to be a father and how good he is at it. I do see my brother and my nephews. I see them grow in his way. I see them act like him. I want to be able to relate to that as well. And, you know, a lot of times I feel like maybe I'm missing out on something.
Wearing my Dapper Boy shirt today.
Nice.
Yeah. They are a company that makes clothes for trans mask people and, like, fits really well, which is better than I can say for a lot of men's clothing.
Baby, one of the reasons why I married you is your lack of pickiness about both your clothing and mine.
I'm very picky about my clothing, and I think I always have been, and I would be picky about your clothing if you let me.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But that does look really nice.
Thank you. I've been thinking about the school stuff, where we're sending Egon next year, what the plan is for him. And yeah, I just don't know the right answer.
Well, like, what's the worst case scenario?
Some of it does hinge for me on our family and our identities and Egon's identity.
Egon's 3 and he's in preschool right now, which means that it's time for us to decide what we're doing with Egon for his schooling, for like kindergarten and beyond.
I mean, right now it's, you know, I don't know how important or apparent it is, because we're talking about 2 schools that are both very diverse. But like, yeah, there is this tiny part of me that worries that there won't be queer families or there won't be any kind of space for me as a transgender parent and a non-binary parent. I worry it's going to be my kid gets taught that a family isn't a real family or that something is wrong with the way we're raising him.
Yeah. Like, one of my most deep-rooted fears about raising our kid is that he's going to get bullied, harassed the same way I was. And I know that, like, there will come a time when he's going to come to me and, you know, say, like, what do I do? Yeah. And I will have no ability to help him other than sort of instill a strong sense of self-worth and hope that that lasts through the torment of 12 years of, you know, institutional education.
Cramp down his little spirit.
Fighting for myself, but understanding that that fight affects my kid in both positive and potentially negative ways, it is hard for me and feels scary to me that my kid will always be different because of who I am in a way that has nothing to do with him. But it always will.
What does your dad think? I mean, like, he's a pediatrician. He, like, yeah, like, works with kids and knows kids and had 4 kids. I mean, obviously, it's a little different in Louisiana than California, but...
it's a loaded question. Do you know that I haven't come out to my dad, like, in those words?
I don't think I knew that you weren't out to your dad. Like, I'm not surprised, but why haven't you?
I didn't want to jeopardize or, like, unnecessarily risk
our relationship in a world where I don't need my dad's permission to transition or to come out or to live as who I am.
My dad and I have a really close relationship. I've always been pretty gender nonconforming, and my dad's always taken it in stride. But he doesn't know that I'm trans. He still calls me by my old name, and he still uses she, her pronouns to refer to me. He's the only one in my family who doesn't know and that I haven't come out to. And that's because when I came out to my mom, she didn't take it very well, and we really needed time to work on our relationship. And I was worried that the same thing would happen and I would lose both parents or have a long time when, you know, I didn't get along with either of my parents.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think I've ever come out as anything to anybody. But what happens when this comes out?
The podcast? Yeah, I don't even know what I'm going to do about that.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. And of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Welcome to The Dough, where Cash is queen and we hardly know her, but we're still here figuring her out together because, y'all, Season 2 is here. Hosted every week by me, X-Maya. Remember me? I'm going to be talking to all types of people about their relationship to money. I'm talking to reality stars, entrepreneurs, financial experts, and even some of my own friends. Basically, anyone who will get real with me about their dollars, how they make money, how they spend it, and how they save it, because I'm trying to retire early, people. Season 2 of The Dough is out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Laura. How are you? How's your day going?
Good. Very busy. I'm running on fumes.
Laura is a trans woman who had done hormone replacement therapy and with her cisgender partner was able to have a biological child of their own and went through this whole process. I was introduced to her through a fertility doctor.
Very authentic to the parenting. Vibe.
Yes, the authentic experience.
Knowing what I know now, I mean, I think what I would have to do is figure myself out financially. I'm a little bit better off now than I was not too long ago, both financially, mentally, and I still don't have a partner either, so we're still talking about freezing samples. I would need to go off of hormones. I need to get myself mentally ready. Hormone replacement therapy has been incredibly important to my mental health and mental well-being. And to know that I would likely have to walk that back, I still have questions. So I'm really looking forward to learning more on the human level of what that was like.
How many kids do you have?
I just have one right now, the little Bookie.
Aw. I'm actually really thankful that you're willing to have this conversation. I just found out that having kids for me would be a possibility. And I was just wondering what your experience has been like.
Well, where do I start? It was tough. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. I had been on HRT for 6 years. Mm-hmm. For me, HRT was life-saving. It changed everything for me. So the idea of having to go off, and in my situation, I had no idea if it would even work, and my doctors didn't know anything, and I would get into it for 3 months, and I just couldn't do it anymore. I'd get too depressed. I'd go right back to where I was before starting HRT. Mm-hmm. And it was awful. It was awful. The third attempt that I was actually able to sustain it, and it took a whole year before I was fertile again. Mm-hmm. And it was bad. It was see myself in pictures, and I didn't recognize myself anymore.
Yeah, that sounds so incredibly difficult. That and I envision, I see this happening, where I would struggle through the same exact things. You know, the thought of going back there again honestly terrifies me.
It's something that you can't really prepare for. Like once I stopped the blockers and I stopped the estradiol, it just was full force, full throttle, like puberty all over again.
Again,
my facial hair came back and like, I don't know. It was hard to tell what was me just being dysphoric and what was actually happening. But there was a lot happening, definitely. Yeah. I don't know. You have to really mentally prepare for, like, it's, I say literally, you have to be mentally prepared to go out of your mind. Even your thoughts and feelings become something you don't recognize.
Oh my gosh. Were you supported?
Yeah, I didn't have anyone. All I had was Joanne. Joe's my partner, Joanne. I was alienating people because I was like nuts on testosterone. I couldn't be around so many people.
Yeah.
So I became a dog walker.
Oh, cool.
The biggest support system was Joanne. And so all day, this is me walking around New York City, feeling dysphoric with all these dogs.
What drove you to keep going through this process? Like, what was that thing that you hung on to through all these difficulties?
I had a dream about the baby. It's like really realistic. I saw the little brown curls and I saw like me and Joe at the beach, and like she had this like satisfaction on her face, and I had this little kid hanging around, and I would think about that. But I will also say that I have a lot of trouble recommending it to people, or like telling people, yeah, do it, you'll be fine, because I know a lot of people won't be able to do it because this is so hard. It's such a difficult journey. But I mean, I have this baby over here. Here, push it.
Yeah.
She's right over there.
Oh my gosh. So cute. Adorable. Yeah.
This little kid is the love of my life. So it's something that you can't really prepare for.
This is incredibly difficult. On the one hand, it sounds like I'm going to struggle mentally to an extreme amount. And on the other side is I have to wonder, is there any price too steep to pay to have a family, to achieve a dream that I've always had? And I've always paid the prices that I needed to, and maybe this is just another example of that.
Well, maybe we can talk again sometime.
I'd love that. Let's stay in contact, especially if you start.
Okay, sounds good. I'll talk to you later. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye.
Okay, wow. That was a lot. That was a whole lot. Oh, jeez.
This is Sai. It's Saturday afternoon. Tookie gone to the farm and up with some friends, came home, and the reality is I have to come out to my dad. I can't put it off any longer. coming into doing this podcast, I knew I needed to come out to my dad. And even though I knew I needed to come out to my dad, I just continued to put it off. Even as, you know, this crew came and started following me around and recording my life for a podcast, and, you know, this group of strangers all know all of these intimate details about my life, and I still haven't told my dad that I'm transgender. I'm worried about my dad's feelings, but I didn't tell him for such a long time. So I'm about to call my dad and come out. For privacy reasons, I can't do it live on mic. But it's definitely a scary and intimidating moment, and I'm feeling really nervous about it. I'm feeling really worried. This is the last good conversation I'm gonna have with my dad.
People love to pretend that there are simple formulas for living your best life now. Eat this and you won't get sick. Manifest it and everything will work out. But there are some things you can choose and some things you can't. And it's okay that life isn't always getting better. I'm Kate Bowler, and on Everything Happens, I speak with kind, smart, funny people about life as it really is. Beautiful, terrible, and everything in between. Let's be human together. Everything Happens is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Every Wednesday, tune into The Deep Dive for a hilarious and heartfelt journey with hosts June Diane Raphael and Jessica St. Clair. From navigating the chaos of motherhood and family to exploring the depths of grief and loss, June and Jessica are two best friends who process life together. Discover their secrets to finding joy amidst the madness. Get ready for unfiltered conversations about life, love, and everything in between. June and Jessica believe in the power of connection and the strength that comes from supporting one another. You can listen to The Deep Dive on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
And can I get any drink started for you?
Could I have the Craftsman 1903 lager?
Sure.
I also know what I want to eat, if that's okay. But if you want to come back, that's fine too. Could I have the kale and quinoa salad? This is Sai. It's been a stressful weekend, and honestly, I could use a drink to decompress. So I'm meeting up with Jeff for a nightcap and some food. Jeff is sober, and while I normally would not order a drink in that situation, Jeff feels like, you know, people should behave as I normally would around him, despite his sobriety, which is one of my favorite things about him.
And I'm gonna get the, I'm gonna get the French dip.
The French dip, okay. Yeah. Would you like anything to drink?
Actually, yeah, let's take a Coke.
A Coke?
Yeah.
So I came out to my dad last weekend.
You did what?
I came out to my dad last weekend.
Okay. Man, this is like, this has been happening to me so much lately, where I feel so close to somebody and then there's some little nugget of information that I'm shocked that I don't know.
So here's the backstory on this.
You're so confidently out in my mind.
Yeah, I've been confident. I've been out broadly, like to like family and friends and like my community for like a year and a half, 2 years. This weekend, I called my dad. And I was just like, hey, I have to talk to you about something. It's kind of heavy, and this isn't really how I wanted you to find out, because I wanted to talk to you face-to-face about it. But I need to tell you that I'm transgender. And he was like, yeah, I know. Your stepmother has Facebook.
Oh, my gosh.
Which, like, he wasn't mad. Like, yeah. It was much less a reveal and much more confirmation.
My dad was not surprised. He was completely wonderful about it. And he wasn't even not surprised in that, like, oh, I always knew kind of way. But he was like, yeah, like, you know, watching your life, watching who you are, watching, you know, your family evolve. It was pretty obvious that's what was going on.
It's funny, like, so wait, hold on. Yeah. Have you talked to your dad since?
We'll FaceTime with Egon, like, once every couple or 3 weeks. Yeah. It'd be weird if I was, like, suddenly calling him.
So wait, hold on. So you have been FaceTiming with your dad this whole time and you've never?
No.
How? Oh, what?
I know,
this
that's
is
like
insane.
Part of how this went on for so long is that I just kept not saying anything and he kept not saying anything. And I'm like, I've had times in my life, because I think this is why it doesn't surprise my dad and why, like, he didn't have a lot of questions, is because, like, yeah, like, I've been, like, I think I've been pretty, like, gender nonconforming my whole life,
right.
But with, and I knew I was non-binary, but yeah, so, like, in a certain way, my dad's always known because I've always been the person I am, and, like, a lot about, like, who, like, my personality, like, just has not changed.
Yeah.
Really interesting thing, right? To see somebody medically transition
right in front of your eyes.
And like, you just see them as who they are, well, which is, that's like the goal, but it's also very weird.
Yeah, and you also kind of like have the audacity to be like, he won't know.
Or like, no, I can't, that's the opposite.
I was legitimately scared. And every time I have to come out to someone and there are any stakes there, I'm always worried that, like, oh, this is about to go south. He thought that he always, like, he thought that he was always in on it. So probably the best possible way it could go down.
I kept thinking he would notice and say something. He'd be like, oh, your voice sounds different.
Aw, and he's just being
and
polite.
He just didn't ever, because this is my dad. He's like the most laid back, unassuming, go with the flow, like. But yeah, I mean, it went about as well as it could possibly go. Like, the only way it could have been better is if my dad was like, wow, congratulations, I'm proud of you. Which he was like, I'm...
Or I am too.
Right. It'd be kind of cool as shit, right?
I have a friend who it happened to. She
really?
Came out. She came out to her mother. She said, Mom, I'm a lesbian. And her mom goes, I am too.
I stepped into it, though.
Uh-huh. Went 100 yards.
Stephanie and I have been going to the driving range a bit, and we're getting better. And no matter what, it's fun. We always have a good time.
This one's going to go really high.
I can't even see it.
Wow.
Can't even see it.
This is over. We should take a trampoline class. They don't really do much, but they're fun.
But they're fun. Like, what, like now that I'm starting to feel comfortable with myself, like your classes have helped a lot with that, and just time and like growing more comfortable with myself. Like, I want to have these new experiences. Like,
yeah.
I want to travel. I love travel. Travel's like my favorite thing, but I've been afraid to travel for the past 5 years.
Yeah, well, let's go. It's on the ground.
You're getting a lot better.
I am, I'm hitting it.
Well, I found out, like, for the longest time, I thought that I couldn't have biological children. Mm-hmm. Turns out I might be able to if I go off hormones for, like, a year.
You want kids?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I do. Like, in order to do that, I have to go off hormones for a year, at least. And that would probably destroy me. So I talked to this girl who did it, and she has a child now. And she said it was by far the hardest thing she's ever done. But I don't know that I can handle that mentally, physically, emotionally.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And I hear that. You know, I feel like I'm at the age to freeze my eggs, but
yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards not because what my body has to go through to like harvest.
To do that, yeah.
I know that you're pumped with a bunch of hormones.
Yeah.
And the eggs that you usually produce like per month are like on steroids,
yeah.
And you produce a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that your body goes through a very, very heavy, like emotional and mental and physical strain just to get this. And it's actually better if the egg is fertilized.
Oh, I didn't
and,
know that.
Yeah, so almost like not have to pick a sperm. Like,
right. All that for a maybe.
Yeah, for a maybe. And I feel like it was something that I should have done a while ago. So my body could handle it.
It sounds like we'd actually be going through some of the same stuff with like all the hormone changes.
Yeah. And I'm at a place where I'm like, what am I gonna do with that egg? Like I'm 36. I am a child of parents who are very much older. And I definitely don't want to be an old parent.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize how much of an impact that it had on my life, but, like, my dad had a heart attack and I had to call 911. And it's just something that I just don't think I want to put my children through. Like, I'm 36 right now. Yeah. Like, next year in May, I'm gonna be 37. Yeah. Like, and you're much, like, you're older than me. Like, yeah. How do you, like, what do you even, like, and you, like, yeah. I'm not on the path to yeah. doing that, even close to that, because I don't even have anybody. I think it's great, but I don't think it's for me. So I'm gonna be selfish, and I don't think I want children. But all the power to the people who do.
Absolutely. You know, I don't think that's selfish, though. Like, that's just me. Like, I don't think it is.
But yeah, no, I think it's something that you really need to think about. Like, literally, how old do you feel? Because you kind of lived
yeah,
so honestly, much of your life as one person, and now you're living your life as another person.
I feel like I'd be in my, low to mid-20s again.
All right, well then fuck it. We're in our low to mid-20s, and that's how we feel, and that's how we operate.
I like that. So many of my friends have kids, and they're all very enriched by them. But it's a very different life, because I just started living my life for the most part, like, in ways that I want to.
Right, you just started. So do you want to shut that down?
That's a lot.
Right.
This is where I usually make a joke and run away from the conversation.
Yes, but you can't, because I shall not let you leave. But I feel like when you're a parent, like, you have to give your life, like, your full self, and everything that you have extra, it goes to them. And I, in a way, like, I feel like I'm doing that with my parents right now. Like, any extra, like, anything, like, any extra money that I have, I'm like, what can I do for my parents? It goes to them. And it goes to them without even saying. It's not like your life is over and right, you have right. to live it for your kid. But, like, it is that you want to give everything that you have for that person. And that's what gives you life, and that's what gives you joy. Like, are you ready to do that?
Oh, that's tough.
Hey, Sai.
Hey, Dad.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. How's it going?
It's going good, going good. Watching the 9 o'clock news.
Wow, you're like the last person who still watches the news. Robert and I are still undecided about school for Egon in the fall and exactly what we're going to do. My dad's definitely been asking about it, so I'm going to see what he thinks.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, we're getting close to the time where we have to figure out what we're doing with Egon for school next year.
Is he going to, like, the co-op school still this year?
Yeah, this year he's at the co-op preschool, and then in August he will start real school. If you got to pick where Egon goes to school, where would you send Egon?
You know, all my questions are kind of, you know, not necessarily giving you advice, but, you know, helping you to think about the different issues. So, you know, do you want any kind of special program, or do you want him to experience diverse cultures that are maybe not the same as his home culture? It just depends on whether that's important to you or
not. Yeah, I mean, with all of this stuff, you know, I'm a planner every stage of Egon's life. I've been that person who's like bought the baby book, read up on everything. When should he be hitting this milestone? A little bit helicopterish of a parent, maybe.
As a parent, you always, I wanted the best for y'all. I probably was too much the helicopter dad, kind of rose to the level of almost being like an abusive parent when I got all upset giving sermons about, you know, you're going to live under the bridge or whatever. When you got, like, zeros in homework and I was freaking out.
I will say that, like, the current philosophy, and I'm curious if it's because we're a generation of kids who all got told that we were going to live under a bridge if we didn't do our homework. When Egon doesn't do his homework, we're just going to put him on the phone with you, so it's fine.
He might not like that.
Do you feel like, if you had to do it again, would you, like, be equally as helicopter-ish, or would you chill out a little bit?
I think definitely, I would chill out. I just wanted to have you be successful and to learn and put yourselves in a situation where you could be independent, knowledgeable people when you're adults.
Right. It's nice to be able to talk to you about this stuff, like, now suddenly, like, he's a kid, and I had kind of hadn't even, it snuck up on me, and I hadn't even thought about, like, oh, I should be asking my parents for kid parent advice.
Yeah, it's cool to talk about it.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, as someone who, at this stage in the game, is, you know, a visibly queer parent, I feel like that's just something that, like, isn't in the books, and I do probably overthink it more than the average person, and I probably do have just that tiny little bit of, like, is he gonna be okay? Are we gonna be okay? How can I prepare myself for what happens when Egon goes to school and for every other stage of his childhood, and how can I prepare him?
As a parent, you always want to feel like you did the best thing for your child, especially if you're a parent that values education. I mean, that, you know, you're fallible. You know, all humans are fallible, and you're not necessarily always gonna make the right choices. But you just have to to do what you think is right at the time and go for it.
Yeah, I know.
It feels really good to have come out to my dad and know that our relationship hasn't changed, and it feels fuller now that I can come to him about the issues that I face as a queer parent.
But thank you for the long conversation.
Love you.
Oh, love you too, Dad. Okay. All right, bye.
I'm always going to worry about the job I'm doing as a parent. There's always going to be struggles as Egon gets older. You know, it just gets more complicated. But knowing that I have my dad in my corner, I have always had my dad in my corner, takes a little bit of the edge off.
Oh boy, this is Chloe. I am at LAX, about to head to Atlanta for work. Going to work a volunteer summit and kind of like get together with my teammates because I work remotely. So it'll be fun, it'll be interesting. I like to travel, so not really a problem for me other than the long, long flights.
I'm waiting for my flight to board, and I don't know why, but airports always make me feel a little introspective. Maybe it's the beginning or ending of a journey. I don't know what it is, but I'm thinking a lot about the idea of having a family of my own right now, and now is not the right time for me to actively seek reproduction. My job is going well. My career is taking off a little bit. I'm finally settling in. I'm gaining the confidence that I need, and I'm living in a place that I love, and there's a lot going on in my life, and I still have a lot of my medical transition to get through, and I even have some procedures right around the corner. There's two conflicting feelings right now. One is a sense of loss, and one is a sense of relief. Loss in that I can't necessarily have every single thing that I want right now, even though I feel like I deserve it sometimes. Relief in actually having made a decision and that I made it myself. I do believe that when a child is meant to enter into my life, it'll happen. It'll happen in its own time, and it'll happen the way it's supposed to.
Thank you.
Next time on Being Trans.
You're gonna take off my pants for me. No, 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 pull them from the... What, have you never undressed a grown man before?
I took Egon to this water park, and there's this dude staring at my body trying to decide what I am. Like, it sucked.
One of the big pieces of my transition that I've been really looking forward to, wanting, and needing is facial feminization surgery.
I'm so nervous, but I'm super excited.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed I can't travel for a while.
I know, but, you know, doctor's orders.
I just got off the phone with my mom. There's some potential health issues going on with her, and that's scary to me. It's a confrontation with an inevitable reality that I do not want to think about or deal with.
Being Trans is an audio reality original from Lemonada Media's Being Studios. Executive producers are Jessica Cordova Kramer, Stephanie Whittles Wax, and Casey Barrett. Our co-executive producer is Selle Leota. Our associate producer is Mariah Gossett. And our assistant producer is Greta Stromquist. Our consulting producer is Shar Jossel. Scott Hanlon is our audio supervisor and field recordist, with additional field recording by Mars Mejia. Mix and sound design by David Herman and Michael Raphael. Additional mix, sound design, and consultation by Ivan Karayev. Our music is by Signature Tracks. Being Trans is brought to you with generous support from the Marguerite Casey Foundation and Wellbeing Trust. You can find us online at Lemonada Media and connect with us across all social platforms. Subscribe to Lemonada Media on Apple Podcasts to hear bonus content, deleted scenes, and more from our cast. If you like what you heard today, please tell your family and friends to listen and subscribe, rate and review us on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, thanks for listening and thanks for being.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out on April 24th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Elise Myers. I'm a content creator and comedian. You might know me from TikTok. Why am I in your ears right now? Well, that's a great question. I would love to tell you. I have a new podcast called Funny Because It's True. On my show, I'll be interviewing comedians, pop culture icons, and also just people I find really funny. We'll be talking about the awkward moments that keep you awake at night. Because if you don't laugh, you cry, right? Okay, funny because it's true. Out now wherever you get your podcasts.